Shout out. Do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinances of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interests on your fast days and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places, and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in.
Thank you, Margaret. A voice calling us to consider righteous judgment. And now from the Gospel of Matthew, Sue will read to us.
From Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sue.
We've said it already in what Dave said at the beginning and at other times. Lent is always seen as a season of self-denial. But our readings make it very, very, very clear, and we need to remember that that self-denial is not of itself a virtue. It's what you do with it that makes it right and good and helpful to you and rejoicing to God. Self-denial on itself, and people behave. It's interesting to me that people who don't come to church and who would actually say loud and clear, I don't believe in God and I don't, you know, they still talk about what they're going to give up in Lent. As though that made itself virtue. It's not. There is nothing virtuous of itself in self-denial. What we do with the space created by self-denial, or the money saved by self-denial, or whatever it is. I learned that most from a friend of mine who, she didn't talk about it, which is somewhere in our second reading, but when I asked her, I discovered that she fasted every Friday lunchtime. She didn't have lunch on Friday. And she had anything between half an hour and an hour's break, depending on how things were going. But she didn't have, and she used that time to pray for the hungry and the homeless. That was the point of not having lunch. Not to feel good about herself because she'd fasted, but to have the space to remind herself to pray for the hungry and the homeless. And it's there in those readings. What are you doing with the space? And God, I think it's the nearest God gets to impatience, saying to people, for pity's sake, you're not doing anything good with your fasting and your rites and rituals and all the rest of it. You're actually still carrying on doing bad things. And you think, I'm going to listen because you've suddenly stopped eating or because you've gone through the right ritual. No, I'm not. I'm more interested in what you do with the space you've created for yourselves and whether you're bothering to care about the poor and the lonely and the needy and the sorrowing and the painful. And that's what Lent's about. What am I reflecting on that will help me be what God needs me to be in terms of people in need and in terms of my own needs? There's nothing wrong with looking at our own. We sometimes get this hint that it's somehow selfish to look at our own needs. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. God loves you. God encourages us to look at our own needs as well. So what is God inviting you to pay attention to this Lent? Because that's what it is. It's an invitation to turn aside and pay attention. And that may mean giving something up, or fasting, or doing something different, or it may mean taking something on, of course, though with some of the people gathered here, there isn't much room for taking anything else on, because you're all so busy in the first place doing so many good things. But nevertheless, is God saying, pay attention to this, or pay attention to that, or pay attention to yourself? Is God saying to you this Lent, look after yourself, look after your own need, pay attention? Or is God saying there's this bit of our relationship that we could pay more attention to? It's interesting to me when I talk with other folk about how they pray. Most people automatically pray when things go wrong. If they pray at all, then when things are tough, they pray. How often have you rejoiced with God lately? How often have you said to God, isn't this lovely? Isn't this wonderful? Can we laugh together? I got the nearest to it. Actually, it's almost there now. We had that lovely blue day in the midst of all the grey and the drizzle and the rain and the bleh and the sleet and everything else. We had that lovely blue day. If I'd had the energy, I didn't that day, but if I'd had the energy, I could have gone into the park and danced with God because it was such a beautiful day. But we don't do enough of that, do we? Or perhaps you're better at it than I am. But or take a different approach. Some of you will know, but some of you won't have heard why I haven't got any shoes on. I started taking my shoes off a long time ago, when it was time for communion or particularly important events in the church, partly to remind myself to be in touch. There's a poem about the fact that we're no longer in touch with the earth because we wear shoes. It's an interesting thought. But also as a reminder that those of us who have the enormous and holy privilege of standing in this place are doing so as servants of Christ. We are here as servants, not as people in power and authority and not as important or any of those things, but as servants. And for me, this is purely personal, for me, taking my shoes off was about reminding myself that I'm here as a servant to serve God's people, to serve God's community. And that's a different way of looking at how we reflect, how we think about things. It taught me in the days when I always wore a cassock. Most of you won't have seen me in a cassock. I wore a cassock because when I trained for our ministry, the first church I went to preach at as a student minister, the steward greeted me at the doorstep, and I said who I was, and he said, you can't be, you're a woman. And I vowed I would never again risk that. And by the following Sunday, going out from college, I was wearing a cassock with a dog collar. And I went on wearing a cassock, and very happily, for years. In fact, this will make some of you smile, I hope. I had three cassocks because I like different colours. And then I realised that I was using the cassock to hide. And I got into uniform and I got into the uniform of being a minister. And God gently reminded me that I'd been called as me. So I stopped wearing a cassock. You can trace my Christian journey by the things I wear. It's quite interesting. And not wearing shoes is part of it. So this, I knew this was going to turn into something of a testimony, but that's what Lent's about, sharing the journey so that we can all journey. Where Jesus said, do it in private. It's about motivation. It's not about not talking about it. It's about the fact that people can be tempted to talk about their journey as though it makes them special. It doesn't make them special. God makes them special. They are special to God, but everybody's journey will be different and therefore special to that person. So I just invite you to consider what God is inviting you to this Lent, and what it might be that God wants you to reflect on, wants you to think about, wants you to be aware of. And all the time, remember that, yes, it's about penitence, but it's also about joy, enjoying God, because God enjoys you. God loves you so much that God delights in you. Did you know that? Can you hold that? God delights in you. God enjoys what you do. God enjoys who you are. God loves the way you are and the way you've been made. God loves you on this journey and invites you to whatever reflection it is for you this Lent that will deepen your relationship with the living God and lead you on more and more into the knowledge of the heart of God for you.